Money FM 89.3, the best of the breakfast huddle. Why it matters on Money FM 89.3.
You're listening to Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly, sitting in for Elliot Danker today. Now, according to InterSystems' latest study, the top data and technology challenges in financial services across Asia Pacific, 87% of financial services organizations in APAC are frustrated by their data in driving decision making. On top of that, cybersecurity incidents are a growing concern. Asia was the most targeted region in 2021, taking on one in four cybersecurity attacks, with financial services and manufacturing organizations accounting for almost 60% of attacks in Asia. So the question is, what can an organization do when faced with a cybersecurity threat? To find out, we're joined on the line by Jean Yu, founder and CEO of Black Panda Group. Hi, Jean.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Good morning, Jean. I mean, before we get into Black Panda, I've got to ask you, I was checking out your profile on the website. You've got quite the origin story.
It's been a long journey, certainly, for Black Panda, but quite proud of where we've arrived today as a specialized cybersecurity firm.
Definitely. And maybe you want to talk to us a little bit about your history and how that led to the formation of Black Panda.
Sure thing. So Black Panda was founded by a group of former American Special Forces operators out of Okinawa. And our specialization was always in crisis response in the region.
Okay.
This led to the inspiration of crossing over into the cybersecurity field and hyper-specializing in what we call digital forensics and incident response, or cyber firefighting. And this is the expertise that we've zeroed in on and built out, we believe, the premier service across Asia. We're headquartered in Singapore. We have offices in Hong Kong, Tokyo, Manila, and soon San Francisco as well.
And you, I mean, your background as well, as you mentioned, you are former U.S. Army Special Forces, and you've had quite the tour as well.
Yes. During my service time, I served all over the world, multiple combat tours in Iraq, in the Philippines. In particular, I was serving in one of the five standing regional counterterrorist units for America, and I was commander in that unit. And that's the one that I'm talking about here, that where I had the experience to see what right looked like in terms of crisis response for an extremely well-funded unit. And we were seeking and endeavoring to replicate that type of service in the cybersecurity realm across Singapore.
That's fascinating. That's really fascinating, Jean. So tell us more about Black Panda here in Asia and what exactly you are looking to do and what are some of the key issues that you've seen, I guess, really just balloon over the last 2 years on the back of the pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. So Black Panda is Asia's first cybersecurity insurance technology or insurtech firm. And as I've mentioned, we have a specialization in digital forensics and incident response, or digital firefighting. So when we think about particularly SMEs, and I always like to make physical analogies to cybersecurity, because the first thing to understand about cybersecurity is that it's not an IT problem. It's a security problem, right? It's not a computer that's attacking you on the other side. It's a human being. And that human being has friends, organization, different desired end states, and thus the security approach needs to be bespoke according to those that threat analysis, right? And that mentality immediately starts to illuminate why cybersecurity needs to be dealt similarly in the models and the way that we approach physical security, right? So when you ask me about what Black Panda's vision primarily is that we want to democratize cyber firefighting or cyber incident response, similarly to how we all enjoy currently democratized physical firefighting services, right? So a company right now may not have a fire insurance policy, but if a fire occurs, they can count on calling 999 and basically the firefighters will show up, right? We're missing that in the cyber field right now. There's nobody to call as a public service along those lines. So that's essentially what Black Panda is doing, is we're being that cyber firefighting line on the other side to respond in these incidents, and we're able to mass distribute our service through an insurance business model.
So talk to us about the different firefighting services that you offer. You've got cyber incidents response, you've got assessment, you've got loss adjusting and investigations, digital forensics. I mean, quite the list.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I think the when we talk about incident response, we can talk about different types of cyber attacks. And we do everything under the sun. And this is our specialization from head to toe. As I mentioned, I like to describe our company as 1 inch wide and 10 miles deep.
Okay.
The only that we're interested in is firefighting. We just want to be the very best that we can be at this service for Singapore. So, for example, the most common type of cyber attack we see in Singapore is ransomware.
Right.
So that's essentially the equivalent of criminals coming in to kidnap your company and extort you for money. Right. There's very little difference in the actual action of the attack model here. There's very little different from a kidnap and ransom situation if you kidnap somebody's family member. Right. And so in this situation, you need professional ransomware negotiators to handle the actual negotiation event itself. Anytime, like for example, right now we have about 20 ransomware or incident response cases ongoing. So this is not an uncommon event.
Gene, I've always wondered, how do you negotiate a ransomware situation?
So it's very similar, again, to a kidnap and ransom extortion negotiation, in the sense that neither side have any long-term credit with each other, right? So it's a one-time negotiation that both sides are trying to get essentially the best advantage for themselves at any cost. So the first thing that happens in a ransomware negotiation is that we need to prove, at least the good guy's side, the blue side, is that we need the bad guys to prove that they have the decryption keys to actually get the data back to the client, right? So just very fundamentally, from a trade perspective, you shouldn't be forced to, it's reasonable to ask to have proof that of what I'm buying is actually the goods that I'm paying for, right? And so how do we do that? We create secure instances for the victim side to bring in the encrypted data and different pieces of it, and then force the attackers to come in and decrypt it and prove that they can actually give the data back to the client. That's the first step, because a lot of ransomware cases we discover, actually the attackers can't decrypt the data, especially now with the prolific productization of ransomware malware in the dark web. There's a lot less sophisticated cyber attackers or would-be criminals who are just basically downloading and then just dumping the payload in at the victim site. So that's immediately an issue. If they can't prove they can decrypt all the data, well, then they want a discount, right? And that immediately starts the negotiation stance from there. You know, maybe I'll just pause there because there's so much that goes into
it. I mean, yeah, no, it's really fascinating as well. So ransomware, that's one of the top cyber threat here in Singapore. What are some of the challenges, though, for SMEs in terms of tackling these cyber threats?
Yeah, so I would say the biggest issue for SMEs comes around from a awareness perspective, but then also cost as well as cybersecurity services. My challenge usually to any company, frankly, when starting the cybersecurity journey or consideration is, what would you do if you were hacked in the next 5 minutes, right? Rather than looking at, hey, what are the solutions that, you know, in a perfect world, remove this risk 100%, you know, off of your plate, what would you do in the event an attack occurs right now? I.e., the same physical analogy, what would you do right now if a fire broke out? Well, you need to have a plan, or at least the access to the firefighters to immediately have a solution right now, right? So when we think about what is the most imminent issue, is to make sure that you have response immediately. And so, you know, for SMEs, I think that's a challenge when we look at the expensive retainer model for incident response services, similarly to consultants and law firms, or the other way to get incident response services currently is through cyber insurance policies, which is, I believe, the most superior form of a cyber resiliency solution here. But SMEs oftentimes are a bit reluctant maybe to go forward to buy cyber insurance. You know, it's difficult to qualify for. There's a lot of challenges that come around with that in the Asia market as well. So
talk to us. So how does your business model work then? You offer them, I mean, can they just contact you or do they need to have an insurance setup? Or, I mean, I'm assuming not a retainer. How does it work?
Yeah, so I'm very proud actually to share here that we launched with MyRepublic, which partnered with StarHub, to distribute en masse a very affordable incident response retainer that essentially will provide one incident response service in a year, which is usually worth anywhere from $30,000 to $40,000 for a tiny fraction of that price, because we have the InsurTech algorithms and engine in the terms of the data behind us in order to essentially provide this at such a low cost.
How much is a tiny fraction?
We're talking like $1,500 US a year.
Oh, okay. In comparison to 40,000, that's quite a difference.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in addition to that, because we don't actually want to see the client breached, right? We will provide a significant amount of cyber tools and resources like perimeter scans and also advisory services to help raise the cybersecurity posture and limit their chances of being breached, right? Our objective here is actually to provide this out in the market as widely as possible just to pay for the unfortunate few that something like this occurs. So to describe this model, I think you can see that the parallel in the physical world is that we all pay tax to the government, or a little bit of that tax goes into the kitty in the government to pay for the unfortunate few that a physical fire occurs. And then the firefighting service is on standby 24/7 to aid those victims. What I just described, and then in our cybersecurity incident response model, is exactly how Nationalized Firefighting Service came about 400 years ago. After the Great Fire of London, a huge event that almost destroyed the city for good in 1666, gave rise to the fire insurance industry that built and discovered it was most cost-efficient to have their own private fire brigades in-house to put out the fire and limit their claims payout. And this gave rise, essentially, to a large national private fire brigade that eventually the government of England nationalized. So I believe that we're going through the same phenomenon cycle 400 years later in the digital space, and we're looking to provide this nearly nationalized private firefighting service in the cyber realm.
So, and that's fascinating. I mean, how do you then see this evolving in, I guess, the next year or so? Especially, you know, all of us are online, and the pandemic's really driven that as well when it comes to digital connectivity, remote working, and then now you've got platforms like the metaverse and so on. So increasingly, we're living our life online. What does this mean for your business and the industry?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, it blooms our industry from the aspect of just the amount of cyber risk that continues to grow in exponential pace. I mean, technology, we all understand from that standpoint of how fast advancement continues to rapidly grow. And as technology continues to move at this blistering pace, cybersecurity risk moves with it as well, right? Every new product that gets tech product that is created and pushed in the market that hooks into another 100 third-party apps, every single one of those connections and deployment is creating new security flaws, gaps, vulnerabilities that are being exploited by criminals, right, or other threat actors, depending on the situation. So when you're asking about the direction of where this is going, it's only going to continue to increase as people realize actually more of our valued assets are actually in the digital space, and this is actually more important as a security problem than even your physical domain in many ways, right, from a value perspective. So when you ask me where I think this direction is going, it's only bigger and bigger and bigger in the forefront of people's minds as we already, I wouldn't even say as we already are completely addicted to the digital realm. And it's just now, I would say, in Asia that the awareness is starting to rise about how serious of a threat this is. You know, to share, Asia's actually eclipsed and become the number one highest market share of cyber attack in the world right now. And there's a lot of reasons behind that I'd have to go into, but time depending.
That's right. Well, Gene, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. Fascinating conversation and wonderful origin story as well.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Gene Yu, founder and CEO of Black Panda Group on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.